Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. We are continuing to speak on the message of grace. In this series, I've been so blessed as I've just been studying more in depth concerning the message of grace. I tell you, there's no end to the depth of God's unconditional love. There's no end to the depth of how much He cares for you. And there's no end to the depth of how much He will influence you to be like Him. And that is what grace is all about. Never think that the message of grace is just a license to sin, because the moment you want to connect that type of teaching to grace, you're going to just deceive yourself and you will never walk in the life of God. You need to know what the grace of God is in order to experience who God is in your life. You will never experience the life of Jesus Christ. You will never experience true healing. You will never experience what Paul has experienced when he said, "I don't live, but it's Christ that lives in me through this message of grace." Christ lived in Paul. He lived through Paul. He manifested through Paul. And the reason why He manifested through Paul was because of the message of grace. God's divine influence upon the heart and the acting out in the life that includes gratitude. So if God can come and divinely influence you in your belief system, in your heart, and He can see that that acts out in your life, and it includes gratitude, man, you will find God's life in your life. I tell you, there's been a time in my life when I've been trying to do the right thing. And you can be there as well. You can be caught in that deception, thinking that we as Christians must try to do the right thing in order to please God, try to do the right thing to experience more of God. Now, that statement that I've just made is so close to the truth. And that is what we're going to look at further on in 2 Peter chapter 1. It is so close to the truth, because when we walk in righteousness, when we walk in forgiveness, when we walk in love, we do experience the kingdom of God. But it all depends from where it comes. If you are walking in righteousness because you say the Bible says I must walk in righteousness, otherwise I'm going to go to hell, and you are doing good things, you are not experiencing life. You are experiencing death. But if you know who Christ is in you, and you know what is given unto you, and you know the message of forgiveness, the message of mercy, and that causes righteousness to come forth in you, your righteousness is of God, your righteousness is God living in you, and that is an entrance and an experience of the kingdom of God. Now, so many of us, as Christians, we are not experiencing the kingdom of God. We are experiencing death. And that's why so many people start to become tired of serving God. That's why there's so many backsliders. If you understand what I mean by backsliding, people that just fall away from grace. To me, that is sliding back into your old way of doing. That is just getting off the message of grace, getting into death, getting into works righteousness, and that just kills you. It looks good, it looks holy, it looks righteous, but it's not the influence of God. Now let's read 2 Peter chapter 1. It says from verse 1, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." Now, for today's session, it's very important to know that we've obtained our faith through the righteousness of God. Then it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, we've said in the previous sessions that God's heart for the church is that grace must multiply. So we cannot stand against grace. We must be for grace, because God's plan, and you can go and look in most of the epistles that's written, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied." So the kingdom of God is a kingdom where grace will be multiplied. Not the law, not an emphasis on what you must do for God, but the emphasis must stay on the message of what God has done for you. Because if we place our emphasis on Jesus, grace will abound in our lives and peace will be multiplied in our lives. The more we can have grace multiplied in our lives, the greater victory we will have over sin and bondage. If grace is God's influence in your life and the acting out in the life, if grace is God's influence in how you believe and how you relate to God, God's power making you who you are supposed to be, Like the Bible says in Jeremiah, it says in Ezekiel 26, it says there clearly that He will take the heart of stone out and He will give you a heart of flesh and He will cause you to walk in His ways. Now that is grace. God causing you to walk in His ways. Like the law caused sin to come forth in your life, in the same way the message of forgiveness, the message of your sins has been paid for, will cause you to walk in the ways of God. It will cause you to have righteousness. It will cause you to forgive. It will cause you to walk in love. It will cause you to have all those wonderful attributes that we see in the life of Jesus Christ manifesting in your life. Amen. And that's what so many Christians want and desire these days. And because we are in want and because we are in desire for those things, not knowing that it's been included in what God has done for us, the devil gives you 10 things to do in order to get those things to manifest. And we just keep ourselves busy with rules and regulations. Man, I tell you, most Christians that got saved in the last 10, 15 years and has just been watching television and seeing what has been preached there most of the time, you don't know grace. Because grace has not really been preached. The message of forgiveness, the message of deliverance has not really been preached. What we must do in order to get God to bless us was preached all the time. Now, it says here in verse 3, it says, according to His divine power, He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, according to grace and the multiplication of grace. That's what it says here. Let's read it again. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. So, what He says here, He says, grace and peace be multiplied in your life through the knowledge of what God has done in your life. And according to the multiplication of grace, and you knowing what God has freely done for you, you will find that everything that pertains to this life, that's the car you need to drive, that's the clothes you need to wear, that's a relationship you have with your parents, that's a relationship you have with your children, that is just the way you relate with people. All of that and godliness has been added unto you. Everything that pertains to life and godliness has been given unto us through knowing what God knows, and that is the multiplication of grace. So the more you know what God knows about your sin, the greater grace will be multiplied in your life, and the more you'll see yourself prospering in every area where you need to prosper, and the more you will see you having the fruit of the Holy Spirit manifesting in your life. So the message of grace is the key for the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So many times we've been thinking that the message of grace is just for the weak. It's just for those people who don't really know how to serve God and be dedicated. Therefore, we preach grace. That's because we've seen so many misinterpretations and wrong translations of the word grace. Grace is not God's unmerited favor. If you think grace is God's unmerited favor, you will say it's only for the weak. But the moment you realize that grace is God's influence to make you like God, you will say it's for everybody. Hallelujah. Now, verse 4. Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, this is through Jesus, that by these promises we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. So it says here very clearly that through Jesus Christ has been given unto us great and wonderful promises, so that through these promises, now remember, a promise puts the emphasis on the one that gives the promise to fulfill His promise. So a promise, everything in a promise is based on the promise maker. If I come and I promise you that I will send you a CD or a DVD for a donation of any amount, I mean, if you donate any amount, and even if you cannot donate and you ask for one, I'll send it to you. And if I made that promise, I need to keep to my promise. The fulfillment of that promise is all based on my character, not yours. All you do is you ask, and the fulfillment of that promise is based on who I am. Now, it says here that by precious promises made by God, we will be partakers of God's divine nature. Now, we want the divine nature. We want to walk in the divine nature. We want to manifest the divine nature. Now, what he says is that that divine nature and your participation in that divine nature is through promises that was made by God. So, for you to walk in that is based on what God has done. And if we can believe that, we will experience that. Let's read verse 4 again. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, this is very important. We are partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption or the decay that's in this world through lust or desire. Now, I said in one of the previous sessions, and I made it clear, that the word desire there, or lust, is not just for negative things. The problem that was in the Garden of Eden, this is the greatest problem in the church today, is a lust for God. Now, you might say, Bertie, but how can you connect the two words? How can you say you lust for God? Now, Adam and Eve lusted to be like God. They had a desire to be like God. They said, well, I can be like God by knowing good and evil. And so many times that's what happened in the church. If the devil and the enemy or the law or whoever can come and tell you that you are not like God, and if the moment you believe that, you're already in trouble. Because man's nature is to want to be like God. We desire all that is good. We've been made to follow after love. We've been made to follow after righteousness. We've been made to follow after everything that's good. Everybody wants peace. Everybody wants joy. Everybody wants to feel good about himself. There's not one person that does not want that. But the moment I can make you believe that you don't have those things, I can give you steps on how to get to it. If you can believe me that I can tell you you're a poor man, and if you can really believe that you are poor, I can get you to do what I want you to do in order to get rich. And I can benefit out of that. So, it's exactly what happens here. And I think we should look at this from this perspective. He says there's corruption or decay, slow, gradual decay in this world through lust, through a desire for things. But the moment we got under the promise, and we're not under the law anymore, we don't lust after God anymore because He came and He indwells us. So if God lives in you, we don't lust after Him anymore. Or we don't desire God anymore because God lives in us. We now live by Him, we live through Him, and we enjoy what He has given unto us. Now that is, man, that's an awesome truth. And the moment we can start to live like that, and we can realize that by Jesus Christ, all godliness has been given unto us, because this is what he says, through the promises we are partakers of the divine nature. And the moment you are a partaker of the very nature that's in God, you don't desire that anymore because you have it. I don't desire to be married because I am married. I don't desire to have children because I've got three. Hallelujah. I don't desire to have a motorbike because I've got two of them. So, to me, in my heart, the fact that something's fulfilled kills the desire for that thing. And the Bible says that there is corruption or decay in this world through desire. Now, that word corruption is the very same word that is used in Romans chapter 8 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it speaks of your flesh decaying and having death, being separated from immortality. Now, that is escaped. We escape death. We escape the fruit of death by knowing that everything has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And as long as what you cannot agree with the simple gospel, you will continue to experience death. Now, remember in verse 1, we said that, and let's read verse 1 again. It says, Simon Peter, servant and apostle Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. So, precious faith has been obtained through the righteousness of God. Now, let's go to verse 5. It's important to know that we have obtained faith through what God has done. Because of the obedience of Jesus, because of His love for man, because of what He's done for man, we could get to the place where we could receive faith. Because of what He's done, faith came into our hearts when we heard it. And when we, faith comes into our heart, we decide to walk with what's in our heart then. Amen. Verse 5. And beside this, beside faith now, beside all of these things, He says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So what does He say? He says, faith has been given unto us through the righteousness of God. And that's what the church believes. We say, well, you know, because of what Jesus Christ has done, I believe that I am saved. I believe that Jesus saved me, my sins are paid for, hallelujah, I am going to heaven. But there's something greater than that. He says, you add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So if you can say, well, I've received faith by what Jesus Christ has done, I can also say that I have received virtue. Now that virtue means in the Greek language, it's manliness or diligence. So I've received diligence through what Jesus has done, through the righteousness of Jesus. I've received knowledge through the righteousness of Jesus. And you can add to your faith. So what he says, we've received faith by what Jesus has done. You've heard that He died for you. You've heard that He was resurrected. And hallelujah, I just want to say this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important in your life today. It's good to know that Jesus died for your sins. It's good to know that your sins are forgiven. On the cross, the law was fulfilled. But the new life is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you can relate to Christ the way He is in heaven today, and this is what this piece of scripture, I believe, also includes. If you can know what He knows, you'll find grace being multiplied and multiplied and multiplied unto you. And you'll find that the works of your flesh are being dead, they are dying because of the new life of Christ taking over in your physical body. And through that, you are experiencing the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Man, that is awesome. It says, beside this, giving all diligence. So, it says that we should know what God knows and with all diligence. Not grudgingly or thinking it might not be the truth or, man, maybe God is not that good. It says here, add to your faith virtue and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love or charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it say? It says, you as a Christian can receive salvation and faith in Jesus Christ through what Jesus has done for you. But you don't have to, after you've received faith, now try to add by your own works virtue. Virtue can be added by what God has done. So, you can say, because of what Jesus Christ has done by faith, I receive virtue as well. I receive knowledge as well. I am full of knowledge because of what God has done. I am full of temperance because of what God has done. I am full of patience because of what God has done. I am full of godliness because of what God has done. I am full of brotherly kindness because of what God has done. And I am full of charity because of what God has done in Jesus Christ. I just add all the godly attributes that is in Jesus Christ unto myself through the message of God's grace. Now to me that is the multiplication of grace. So many times we think, well, grace has only come so that we can go to heaven one day. No. Let God influence you through His finished work so that you can say, well, God, by what You've done for me, I also receive virtue, I also receive knowledge, I also receive temperance, I also receive patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Hallelujah. Now, how do we add to our lives these things, because that might be a technical point. How do we add? Now, it is given in verse 9. Now, let's read verse 8 and 9 together. It says, "For if these things be in you, if godliness, if brotherly kindness, if all those things be in you, it makes that you are not barren, neither unfruitful in the knowledge of God." So what it says is, if those things are in us, we are carrying or bearing fruit. That's the fruit that's talked of in the Bible. And man, you must connect this to Philippians 4, where Paul says, "I don't seek your gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." That fruit speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. It speaks of not being stingy, but being a giver. That's the fruit that abounds to our account. We are not seen as stingy anymore, but we are seen as givers. Hallelujah. So, if we start to come to a place, what Paul was saying, and this is what Peter also said, "And the men of God of those times were looking for fruit, because fruit was a sign of people being in the grace of God." So if we are in the grace of God, we will see fruit in our lives. So Paul said, man, if I must force you to give to me, that's not really bearing fruit. But the fact that you came with a willing heart giving, you are bearing fruit. And it's added to your account being what God says about you and what people say about you. Amen. And what Paul said about them, on their account in the heart of Paul. Hallelujah. So let's go to verse 9. Verse 8, "If these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things," now this is very important, "is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Man, hallelujah, that is so powerful. What does he say? He says, if these things, if temperance, kindness, brotherly kindness, charity, all those godly attributes, the fruit of the Spirit, is not in you, it's because you are blind. Blind to what? Let's read verse 9. He says, "You are blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." So in other words, the remembrance of the message of forgiveness of sins is what will add to your faith, temperance, patience, brotherly love, kindness, all those things. So the more you concentrate on the message, "I am forgiven, I am delivered, God has got nothing against me," it's the ministration of reconciliation. It's the ministration of God's mercy, God treating me better than what I deserve. The ministration of, through the sin of one man, or the disobedience of one, Adam, all were made sinners, but through the obedience of Christ, all has been made righteous. The more we focus on that, the more we will find we are adding the fruit of the Spirit into our lives. Hallelujah. Can you see the importance of knowing the message of grace? The message of grace is what will bring forth fruit in your life. Now verse 10. "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if these things, if you do these things, you shall never fall." So what happens? Paul says, if we can do these things, or Peter says, if we can do these things, how do we do these things? By not forgetting that we've been set free. By adding grace. We make our election sure. We give it a sure foundation. And we will never fall. Because how will the enemy come and tempt you with, "Yes, you're a sinner. Yes, you're doing these things wrong." Because we are believing and seeing the fruit of God in our lives. How do we see it? By focusing on the message of forgiveness. If you find sin in your life, if you find, man, I cannot stop to drink, if you find I cannot stop to swear, if you find that I cannot stop to, I am so impatient, and all those things. Do you know why it is? It's because you're not focused on the message of forgiveness. You are focused on the message of what I must do for God. Because Paul says, without the law, I did not have any knowledge of sin. And Paul says so clearly that that which was good worked in me all that was bad. The law worked in Paul bad things. Because our flesh uses the law to manifest that which is bad in us. So the bad that you see, the bad temper that you see, is because you are not really looking deep into the message of God's forgiveness. So, The more we look into forgiveness, the more we experience God's divine influence upon our hearts. So the pathway unto grace, God's influence into your life, is faith in that I am forgiven and set free. Faith in the scripture that says that in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we have His fullness when we believe and when we are in Christ. Hallelujah. Man, isn't that powerful? Let's pray together and just, man, make this sure in your heart through this prayer of faith. Father, I thank You for every person that's just watching this broadcast. I speak the message of grace to them by saying, your sins are forgiven. I declare over them, I say, your sins are forgiven, and that you are justified from everything that the law of Moses could not justify you, according to Acts chapter 13 verse 38. You are set free. You are the healed of God. You are the blessed of God. God loves you. God cares for you. He heals your sickness. He heals your disease. He heals your wrong understanding of who He is. And He sets you free by His power of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage you to make use of our ministry products. These sessions are available for a donation of any amount, and if you cannot donate, we will send it to you for free. So call us, send your prayer request to the number on the screen. We pray over every prayer request that's sent. Thank you for your praise reports as well. God bless you and stay in the grace of God.